Time may prove that the elections were the easiest part of Iraq's journey toward democracy. Close observers worry that a government of Shiites, Sunnis, and Kurds will be difficult to establish and maintain, particularly for Sunnis, who do not yet have strong political representation, and for Kurds, who enjoy unprecedented clout. Joost Hilterman is an analyst with the International Crisis Group, a group that works to resolve conflicts before they become wars. He's been concentrating on Iraq's Kurdish population and will soon return to the northern city of Kirkuk in Iraq. Joost Hilterman joins us here in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Most Kurds see the recent election as a vindication after years of repression and persecution by Saddam Hussein. But are they willing to share power with Sunni Muslims, many of whom boycotted these recent elections?
Well, the question is where. In the central government, I think there is a general recognition on the part of the victors, Shiites and Kurds, that they need to bring Sunni Arabs back into the political process, lest the country disintegrate. At the local level, especially in the key border governorates, and I mean border between sort of the Kurdish populations and the Arab population, like Kirkuk, but also Mosul, the Kurds won the local elections in a big way because the Sunni Arabs stayed away from the polls. And in Mosul, for example, the Sunni Arabs have formed a majority of the population, and yet they're going to be governed by a provincial council that is made up mostly of Kurds. And I think that is going to prove highly destabilizing, and there is no mechanism for bringing Sunni Arabs into the council.
As you travel about in this region and speak to Kurds, there is a way of speaking about Iraq as Iraqi, and there is a way of speaking about Kurdistan as Kurdish. I mean, what's more important to Kurds, to be viewed as Kurdish or Iraqi?
Well, if you talk to ordinary Kurds, the answer would be very clear to them that the main thing is to be Kurdish. And they have no faith in the Iraqi state because they've only seen bad things from the Iraqi state. If you talk to the leadership, the position is much more nuanced. And the Kurdish parties have made a commitment to the new Iraqi state and make part of it and have said that they are Iraqis willing to work within a unified Iraq to fight for Kurdish rights and self-determination within those national boundaries. But I think the population thinks about it quite differently, and the question really in the future is going to be, will the leadership be able to bring the population along in its quest for a advanced degree of autonomy or federalism within a unified Iraq?
Mm-hmm. How do the Shiites and the Sunnis view the Kurdish desire for autonomy?
A degree of autonomy is something that everyone could agree to as a principle, but the devil is in the detail, of course, how much autonomy. And the Kurds want a lot more autonomy than Arab Iraqis are willing to offer, and specifically also about the status of the city of Kirkuk.
Kurds speak about Kirkuk. In some ways, it reminds one of the way that Jerusalem is spoken of by Palestinian populations as an important city beyond its oil. Of course, it is an oil capital. Tell us more about Kurdish connections to Kirkuk.
The city does have symbolic historical importance to not only the Kurds, but also the other communities that live there. Kirkuk was never a city for one population, or not in recent history anyway. The Turkmens were in the center of the city, but the Kurds have always lived in villages around Kirkuk. And in the 20th century, especially with the booming oil economy, many migrated into the city, as you would find in any place where there is an economic magnet. And so they very much feel that Kirkuk is their city and their governorate as well. The Talabani clan, for example, is historically from the Kirkuk area. And, you know, the Talabani clan has produced the leader of the POK, who may well turn out to be the president of the new Iraq.
Because Jalal Talabani has been put forward as the new president.
That's right.
Do you think that there is a legitimate Kurdish claim then to Kirkuk?
There is a legitimate Kurdish claim to be allowed to return to Kirkuk because they were expelled from there. What is not clear that there is a legitimate Kurdish claim to exclusive control over Kirkuk and for the incorporation of Kirkuk into the Kurdistan regional government. That claim is contested by the other populations living in Kirkuk who have equally legitimate claims to residency there.
The United States has been viewed as the protectors of the Kurds ever since the establishment of the no-fly zones in 1991. What will the U.S. be called upon to do if there is tension between the Kurds and other actors, say the Shiites or Sunnis?
Well, the problem is there has been tension and the United States has done fairly little. What is happening instead is that the stronger party at the moment, the Kurds, are allowed to create facts on the ground, and they in the future will bring much more instability than what we're seeing today.
So they're simply moving back into houses that they say they own and sometimes...
Well, yes, they are. And that is not necessarily the problem as a term of right, because the Kurds were expelled during the period of Arabization and should have the right to return. The question is how it is done and what they're returning to and what happens to the rights of those who are living there. Mm-hmm. Should those people who were brought in during Arabization, for example, be forced to leave, or will they be allowed to stay? And if they're allowed to stay, will they have voting rights? These are questions that have not been addressed and must be addressed.
Joost Hilterman is an Iraq conflict expert with the International Crisis Group, and he joined us in our studios in Washington. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.